Welcome to Medieval Murder, the podcast that brings all things gruesome and historical to the comfort of your own home or car or wherever it is you're listening from. My name is Hannah Purdyman, and I'm here with my father, Kevin Purdyman.
Hello.
To discuss some of the most famous and infamous murders that took place in the medieval and early modern periods. Medieval Murder came to be first as a blog, then as an Instagram, and now as a podcast. The podcast will feature some of the most famous murders in medieval history, some mini-episode series on different types of medieval murders, and interviews with historians and history enthusiasts alike. Just a couple updates on the merch situation.
I ordered some merch. I got some merch in. So the cups are really nice. If you're a camp cup person, and it's actually a quality camp cup. It doesn't like totally burn your hand when you're trying to hold a hot beverage, and it doesn't cool off too quick, so that's pretty nice. The ceramic one, it's what you would expect. Now, a little tip on the merch itself is things seem to run a size smaller than you'd order, or maybe I'm getting bigger, but I would suggest if you need, say, an extra large in the sweatshirt, you go for an extra, extra large. The graphics seem to be really nice. I think they're going to last over time. One thing, the white t-shirts are a little thin and they're almost see-through. So don't be surprised. Just a little shout out there about the t-shirt, the white.
So maybe a pajama shirt type of situation there.
Or if you want to let your freak flag fly, go ahead. So
there you go. So it was just a little little merch update. Jumping in today, we'll be talking about the Viking raid on Lindisfarne, as well as the history leading up to the raid.
So where is this, like, the first documented Viking raid, or
kind of? There's like some that are kind of documented, but this is like the first one that's big, not word of mouth type of situation.
Okay. And I'm taking it was in England?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump in, man.
Yeah. So Lindisfarne was a small island off of the northeastern coast of England, which at the time was considered to be part of the kingdom of the Northumbrian king, Oswald. The island became home to Lindisfarne Priory, which was founded by St. Aidan at the request of King Oswald, which was why the island is now also known as the Holy Island. According to the Venerable Bede, Aidan was originally an Irish monk at Iona Abbey. King Oswald, who was a strong advocate for spreading Christianity across Britain, requested missionaries be brought to Northumbria, which is how Aidan ended up at Lindisfarne as the bishop of the priory and helped establish the priory. Aidan died in 651 and was not venerated as a saint until the 11th century.
Okay, so a couple of quick questions. What year are we talking?
Well, so we're kind of the history leading up. So this is like the mid 600s.
Okay. And it's a Catholic church, correct?
Yeah.
So the one thing I find interesting is, in a lot of this, is that they're coming from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're working backwards to get to England, that they would have been in England before Ireland a lot of times. I don't know.
Well, they are Irish.
Right, but I guess it... I don't know a lot about the spreading of the Catholic faith, but it would seem like it would have been closer to go from France to England to Ireland. But in a lot of cases, it seems like we're going from Ireland back to England trying to spread the faith.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
You know, and I don't know a whole lot about that. And this is really an aside to what we're talking about today, but I just find it interesting that a lot of these priories that are set up in England, they're bringing they're bringing the head guy from Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. That is true. Well, Iona is off the coast of Scotland.
Okay, I was going to ask that too.
Yeah, so it, you know, slowly making your way over.
Okay.
So after Aidan's death, sometime in the 670s, a monk named Cuthbert joined the priory and eventually became the prior and then bishop. Cuthbert died in 687 and was buried in a stone coffin inside the main church on Linda's farm. I'm not sure why, but 11 years after he died, the monks opened Cuthbert's coffin and found that his body had not decayed, which they believed demonstrated his purity and saintliness. So his coffin was elevated to ground level, and it was made into a sort of shrine. Word spread quickly, and people began to go on pilgrimage to see the shrine. And because this was happening, miracles occurred when people would pilgrimage, which eventually led to Cuthbert being venerated as a saint. So Saint Cuthbert.
Okay.
And because this became kind of a go-to spot for pilgrimages and Christianity, this also led to Lindisfarne Priory becoming a center of Christian learning, as well as a place of power and wealth, because all of these miracles were happening. There was a lot of people trying to get to the Holy Island, and so there were a lot of people in power who started funneling their riches, their gold, to fund the priory. And so there,
okay, so it became a destination. It became a deal.
It
wasn't just some obscure monastery.
Yes, and it became pretty well funded.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we reach the year 793. So in the year 793, Northern England experienced several kind of weird months. There's some Anglo-Saxon writers who have written chronicles that described these beginning months in 793 by saying that immense whirlwinds, flashes of lightning, and fiery dragons were seen flying in the air. You know, my assumption here is that there were large storms. You know, I don't know. Maybe they did see dragons. I don't know.
Maybe it's far enough north where some of it was the Northern Lights.
I don't know. Maybe. You know, I mean, there's not. There obviously wouldn't be light pollution, or you know, rumbling storm clouds, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So this is the atmosphere of the time.
Okay, a lot of miracle-y type stuff going on in the area.
Yeah. But it's also a time of kind of turmoil. People were a little scared of what's going on. They're kind of fearful. And this leads into a great famine, which left everyone, including the monks at Lindisfarne, struggling.
Okay.
So, you know, lots of weird weather, lots of weird events, famine. But things are about to get worse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
So what year is the famine?
793. We're still in 793. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So now on June 8th, 793, the Viking raid was launched on Lindisfarne Priory.
Oh.
So 793 is a bad year for these monks.
Okay. Well, we'll get into the raid itself. I've got some questions later, but let's get into the raid. Spring on the mayhem.
Yeah. So the attack came from a Viking settlement in the north, possibly originating from somewhere in Norway. It was described that heathen men came and miserably destroyed God's church on Lindisfarne with plunder and slaughter. The Vikings targeted Lindisfarne due to its reputation for wealth.
I was going to say they brought attention on themselves. It became a target.
Yeah. And I don't know if the Vikings, you know, had the same type of famine occur where they also needed to start plundering, because it is one of the first raids.
That's what I was going to ask. If if now we might have a reason, not only for the exploring, but the exploitation as they raided. Were they driven by a famine? I can't tell. I mean, it doesn't seem like they were driven by taking over the land and colonizing the land or bringing homesteaders in or doing any of that. It seemed like they went, they stole, they went back. They did take slaves with them, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's kind of why these initial raids are just kind of fast. They're quick. They're, you know, get in, get out.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's not, we need to establish a foothold and then bring in our people and, mm-hmm. you know, take over the country.
Yeah.
We're getting off on sidetracks all over the place, but that's kind of the interesting thing is like when you think about Iceland and how the Vikings kind of moved in there, and you can trace most of the ancestry back to Denmark, Norway, even Ireland, more because of the slaves. But there was nobody there. It's like, okay, we'll take this,
you know.
But on places where there were people there, they didn't seem to stay. I mean, they did kind of more like, you know, Egil hanging out with Athelstan for a while, you know. But it doesn't seem like they were about expansion. They were more about building their wealth in Norway and Sweden and Denmark and So anyway, sorry, I'm sidetracking us all over the place.
So according to the 12th century chronicle Historia Regnum, or the History of Kings, the Viking invaders laid everything waste with grievous plundering, trampled the holy places with polluted steps, dug up the altars, and seized all the treasures of the Holy Church. The Vikings took everything of value from the priory, gold crosses, silver goblets, and a gospel book with a cover decorated in gold and jewels. The only thing they didn't take was the body and coffin of St. Cuthbert.
That's what I was going to ask. Did they take him?
You know, and I don't know if they would have known about him necessarily. You know, they would just know that there's a lot of maybe activity.
Right. Yeah, well, and I think, I don't know if that's like maybe that's kind of a sign of respect in a way, where they're not desecrating the dead by taking the body.
Seems I'm like guessing they desecrate not the living. I'm guessing not based on what happens next. I don't think there's a sign of respect about to happen.
Okay. Now we talk about all this stuff that they've taken. Has anybody ever, I mean, there was no photographs. There may have been drawings kind of the gospel you're talking about. But has they done any recovery of, you know, you'll find like a Viking hoard and they can trace it back to where it came from?
That would be really interesting to look into. I don't know.
Of where some of the stuff. Okay. No, I mean, it would be really, I mean, at this point, it would be amazing because we're talking the 900s, right?
Mm-hmm. No, 700s.
That they find stuff, say, 10 years ago, and we've done we trace it back to here. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if you could really trace it like that. That would be really, really cool if you could. But I don't know if there would be anything that says specifically that it was from here, you know?
It would have to be an artifact so specific and well known and documented for them to make that, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, sorry, sidetrack again.
No, you're good. So jumping back into the raid. The Vikings were particularly violent in their attack on the monks themselves. I don't know if the monks put up a fight, but they probably shouldn't have. The Vikings did things like tying the monks to trees and lashing them and using them as target practice for the archers. They also dragged many of the brothers of the monastery away in fetters, most likely to become slaves, and drowned the others in the sea. Because the Vikings were obviously more skilled in battle than the monks of the priory, they really stood no chance against the seasoned warriors, you know?
Right.
Another source...
Well, and the Vikings came to, kick ass, and the monks were probably, oh, who are these guys? You know, let's try and convert them.
Yeah, maybe.
You know.
Maybe.
You know, there's probably a little bit of Christian charity at the very beginning, and then it quickly
run
away.
Yeah, it could be. Another source describing the attack is from a letter from St. Alcuin to the king of Northumbria at the time, Athelred. It stated that pagans have desecrated God's sanctuary, shed the blood of saints around the altar, laid waste the house of our hope, and trampled the bodies of saints like dung in the streets. Never before has such an atrocity been seen. While other smaller attacks probably had been wrought on England before, you know, just little ones, nothing of this magnitude, nothing that's been documented like this.
Right.
This attack on Lindisfarne Priory became particularly infamous, not only because of the intensity of the attack and the stories that came out of it from the survivors, but also because the Vikings or pagans had attacked a prominent center of Christian learning and knowledge and won, which is also why it was this attack that created terror throughout England and even continental Europe. They were scared that other Viking raids and violence were going to start overcoming England.
Right.
And if a place with a saint like Saint Cuthbert could be desecrated at the hands of pagans, what hope did the rest of them have?
Right, and where's the protection of God?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. You know, it was a religion and learning, a side of religion and learning, but it was also it's a monetary thing too.
When I don't think the Vikings were particularly targeting Lindisfarne because it was a center of Christian learning. I think they just needed the goods.
Right. Or looking for a kind of a population center. I imagine it was one of the more populated centers, you know?
I don't know. It's a pretty, pretty small island.
Right. Well, it's also probably easy access because they are a seafaring people. And I think if you attack someplace and it's an island, you don't have to worry about
reinforcements.
The reinforcements come into their aid, maybe. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Probably. I mean, it's pretty isolated. So, yeah, right. I think that could be. I mean, I don't think they had anybody on the island to protect themselves necessarily. It's a priory.
Right.
Yeah. So Viking raids continued to occur in the area and began to increase in frequency in the following decades. And because the Holy Island was relatively exposed and had already been the target of Viking attacks, Lindisfarne Priory was actually abandoned in the late 9th century.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to wonder if they stayed. Did they relocate to somewhere else?
Yeah, so one of the notable things to assert revived the attack and then be taken from Lindisfarne when it was abandoned, they hid the Lindisfarne Gospels, which was an illuminated manuscript created at Lindisfarne between 715 and 720, and it still survives to this day and is now housed in the British Library in London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that did survive. And when leaving the priory, the monks also took St. Cuthbert's body and the relics associated with him with them. And they're now located in Durham Cathedral.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if he's still about.
Yeah, so he did survive. I'm sure the monks probably kind of scattered you know, I don't think they all relocated as a group. I think they probably scattered throughout Northumbria, or other areas to other abbeys and priories.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, and were they in, I don't know if you, were they into their sect? Because there's like Benedictine monks and there's, and you know, the different orders. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they were in a specific order of monks, they would have probably gone to a brother monastery with that same order.
I'm not sure when different sects really started, you know, splitting off. I think it's probably a little later than, right. than this, because this, you know, the monastery is abandoned in the 9th century. I don't know if anything started splitting off like that until maybe the 11th century.
Okay.
But I'm sure most of the monks that were located at Lindisfarne were Irish, and so it does make you wonder, did they go back home? Did they, you know, did they stick together with other Irish monks, you know?
Right. Lots yeah. going on.
But not a lot more is actually known about the attack on Lindisfarne.
Like the raid itself, do they know, you know, was it like, you know, we've talked about Eagle, obviously it's pre-Eagle, but, you know, do they have like Eric the Red? Did was like,
no, do we know who was leading
the raid?
No, I don't think so. We just know it happened. There's not a lot of notable, you know, there's a couple sources that come out later. You know, chronicle about it later,
right?
Not necessarily the same year. It was written down in one chronicle of that year, but that's it. And it was a small note saying that it happened. There was a famine. There was the Viking raid on Lindisfarne, and you know, not much else was stated.
Yeah, but we don't know like the population. We don't know the numbers.
We don't know the numbers, but it is thought that this is actually the attack that now signifies the beginning of the Viking Age.
Yeah, I've seen, I forget what movie it is, a movie where I think they were like trying to incorporate the raid in Lindisfarne into it. I mean, because that's kind of like the start of the Viking, the start of this kind of fictional series. And I'm sure they use that kind of as the basis for like the opening act of these are the Vikings, you know, and it goes from there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you can actually still, so Lindisfarne Priory was reestablished in the 12th century.
Okay.
People did end up back there. And you can actually now take a ferry and go and visit Lindisfarne Priory on the Holy Island.
And so they obviously rebuilt the church in the 12th century.
Well, I'm not sure if it fell or not. I know it was originally made out of timber and stone. And then I think later it was... the walls were actually lined with lead. So I don't know. And I don't know what year that happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Lined with lead.
I don't know if it was after, you know, when it was reestablished that happened. I don't know. There's nothing stating that the Vikings burned the church. You know, okay. You think that would have been something that, you know, and they did stay there for another, you know, 100 years.
Right. And then they rebuilt it. And you can visit the ruins today. Or maybe it's not ruins. I don't know. Well, interesting. Kind of the start. First kind of, we are the Vikings. We're here and freak out continental and England. Continental Europe and England.
I'm sure word of that spread pretty quickly.
It's amazing how fast the word spread then. I mean, today it's instant, but then, like, how effective their communication was.
Yeah.
Really, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if the power went off today, it would be really interesting to see how we adapted and communicated.
Probably not well. I think not well.
No. But it was interesting how, you know, that the people were all freaked out about the different goings on, you know, about the weather and the famine, and then these Vikings show up. The more you look at history, the more people go through the same thing kind of over and over again. I'm not saying the Vikings are going to show up, but now we're freaked out about the weather. We're freaked out about food. We're freaked out about a lot of stuff. And
yeah, that's, you know, yep. So who knows?
Right. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, thank you for listening to Medieval Murder. If you have any listener questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via our Instagram account at Medieval Murder or via email at info.medievalmurder@gmail.com.
So another word about the swag merchandise, check it out. The Eagle stuff is nice. Shows a lot of Viking stuff. And then, I mean, it's all good stuff, all quality stuff. Like I said, runs a little small. So go for a size up, and the white is see-through. And if you're a coffee or tea drinker, the cups rock.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. If anybody's looking for merch, we ship to all the countries.
Oh, and the turnaround time was a little, I thought it was going to be longer, but it was about 3 weeks. Because I know that they're printing them up, and I mean, there's not like a stock of them, so they're having to print process the order and stuff. And it's about 2-3 weeks. I was surprised it showed up as fast as it did.
Yeah. So, start rocking that Medieval Murder merchandise and tell people about us, because, you know, we're here, we're doing it. We're not that consistent, but we're trying.
and we enjoy having a conversation about all things medieval.
Yeah. So tune in later for our next podcast.